This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
And a good morning to you. Probably a late night for a lot of you who are wondering who the next president of the United States was going to be. Still no word on that one. I went to bed at 12:30 Central Time. Took about a three-hour nap before I got ready to do this show this morning. And they're still, like nothing happened in the 3 hours. And I didn't really think, you know, things were going to be processed in, at 3-4 in the morning on the East Coast. But that's where we're at today. It's just ironic because I always make the political comparison to sports. I tell my friends this all the time. I'm like, look, you tell me you don't like sports, but then you are really into politics, which is very similar to sports. You find a team, you join a team, you root for your team, you criticize your team. But imagine if the Super Bowl, we didn't know who won the game until every play was reanalyzed by the office at the NFL headquarters. So Super Bowl Sunday, I was like, it might take a week before we determine who won this thing. We got to go through every single play, every single yardage to make sure everything adds up. But that's the nature of politics. And if it doesn't happen on the 3rd, and it doesn't happen today, and it doesn't happen tomorrow, so be it. We'll figure it all out. All right, coming up on the show today, we'll talk a little college football. As Wisconsin once again had a game postponed, their game upcoming against Purdue, this is becoming problematic for the Big Ten. Now, they were very late to the game, and now are going to suffer the consequences if COVID kind of infiltrates their conference and causes games to be postponed where there is no option to make up these games. They already had a game against Nebraska postponed. They're struggling right now. And this conference, because they didn't come back quick enough, didn't allow for a buffer like other conferences did. We'll get to the ramifications of this because the College Football Playoff Committee is going to be meeting soon. They're going to be announcing their rankings soon. And what does it mean? If we're all in this for the same, for normalcy, if we're not all in this just to make a little bit of money and play a little football and get a little bit of, you know, excitement back into our COVID lives. If in the end result, Ohio State, Wisconsin, Michigan State, all these schools up in the Big Ten are competing for a little bit more than just playing for a regular season, then what does COVID mean for their chances of that? We'll discuss that coming up. But coming up, the Thursday night game against the 49ers and the Green Bay Packers has a lot of injuries on San Francisco's side. We'll dive into that a little more in Wake Up Call, SportsMap Radio Network.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. Wake Up Call, SportsMap Radio on Twitter. That's where you can hit us up, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. Also, like us on Facebook at Wake Up Call, and also like SportsMap Radio as well while you're at it. Temperatures vary throughout the day, so taking your temperature just in the morning isn't enough. Make it a new family habit to take your temperature with the Exergen Temporal Scanner before dinner and in the morning. It's the number one thermometer used when recommended by hospitals, doctors, and nurses. All right, so I guess we should touch on the election a little bit. I don't want to be obtuse.
Yay!
Like, to the whole major story of the morning.
And the winner is?
And the winner is. Yeah, it's such a sporting event, isn't it? Like, every
it
4 years you gather. I've always liked the Heisman Trophy because I felt like it's as close to the Electoral College that we have in sports. Like, people vote regionally. Right, like my SEC quarterback, I cover the SEC, I'm voting for this guy, and then the West Coast guys vote for the Pac-12 guy, and then the Midwest guys, that's where the Heisman Trophy might be won. Who's on the ballots with the Big Ten guys? That's as close as we get to an Electoral College feel in sports. But last night it was like, okay, this isn't going to end. They're not going to announce it.
This one went into extra innings.
Yeah, this is like the baseball game where you're like, do I stay for the 15th inning or do I just call it a night and hopefully wake up to a winner?
Bringing out some relief pitcher you've never heard of.
Exactly.
Just, you know, off subject real quick. Speaking of baseball, good on baseball to announce some awards last night.
Yeah, they did. I know. So, yeah, they got some gold glove awards.
It's a good night to do that.
Yeah. Nice to have a little show and everything on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I bet they had a lot of viewership. Let's have all the naysayers talk about how those ratings were down.
If you are not interested in this whole presidential election, tune into the Gold Glove Awards. Find out who won. Mookie Betts, congratulations. Winning a Gold Glove.
Won again.
Max Fried of the Atlanta Braves won one too. So once again, we find out that polls can't be trusted.
Right? No.
Like this is the second year in a row that we've had it a couple of other where polls are way, way, way off in giving people an accurate feel of what's going to happen in the night. And again, just to keep it in sports, we would not tolerate this in the sporting world at all. At all. We don't like it when, if you're a Harris poll voter back in the day and you're like, I think, and I'm not picking on any particular school, but I'll take mine, South Carolina is the number 5 team in the country. You better back that thing up. You better be absolutely positive you've crossed your T's and dotted your I's if you're going to put somebody in the top 10, top 5 in a college football poll. Likewise, these pollsters, they're saying Biden's going to win by 7, 8, 9 points. It was clear early on that that was not going to happen. You got a feeling like, no, this is going to be close. This is going to be really tight. He's not rolling away with this. And, hey, good for you. I think we talked about this yesterday before the show. Good on you. Georgia was not as close as I thought it was going to be. It was closer than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
You actually told me yesterday you think Georgia was going to be a swing state. I was like, I don't know, man. I'm not sure.
And what's the best thing about it? How many 28-3 references hit your timeline yesterday?
Good point.
What do you mean? A red team was up big and now they're losing to a blue team?
Yeah, so we'll see how this plays
Sounds
out.
Sounds familiar.
Pennsylvania still has to go. Michigan, I think, was it Wisconsin, Nevada?
Let's be real. We'll talk about who the next president is on Friday.
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe not. Maybe we'll find out Friday night and we'll talk about it Monday. Like, hey, you remember that guy way back last week who we thought was going to be president? Well, he is or isn't. We don't know.
Exactly. You know the big winner was last night? My friend Robert Cahaley. He's the president of Trafalgar Group. I've known Robert for 30 years. We've been best friends since college. And he is the he started the Trafalgar Group after running campaigns. He's the guy that said that Trump was going to beat Hillary last year, getting 306 electoral votes, and he nailed it. And then he went this year, and he said the same thing. He's like, Trump will win. It'll be close. These polls are all wrong. He was on every single network all around the country, every radio show, everywhere, and he said the exact same thing. He said, this is close. And I don't know if Trump's going to win, but he was the only one that said, these polls are all wrong. All of them are wrong. There's a silent Trump vote, and you'd better account for it. These people don't want to tell you who they're voting for, and they're even lying to you. And he got it again. He nailed it again. So I sent him a congratulatory text last night. Right, and he didn't respond because he's busy, but nevertheless.
What?
He was I stayed at his penthouse apartment in at the Super Bowl.
Honestly, cut him out of your life. If he didn't respond to you on election night, what kind of friend is he? Nah, you know what
like
it is?
Like, you nailed it last year, you're nailing it this year.
It'll be every 4 years fame.
Yeah, totally.
Every 4 years, he won't be able to talk to you. He'll ghost you every 4 years.
I told my wife, I saw him on TV, and I paused it. I said to my wife, I said, look, Robert's on TV. And she goes in, she goes, first thing she says is, oh, God, he's lost weight. I go, that's the first thing you're thinking about? Is that he lost weight?
Of course it is.
I was like, you're happy for him. He's getting some attention. You know, like, he's becoming super successful. Like, he lost weight.
They don't look at that.
No, they don't.
You know, they just look, let me compare him to people I know. That's the first thing they do.
You know how good of a friend he is real quick?
His hair got a little grayer.
I invited him to my wedding back in 1998, and I was getting married in St. Petersburg. His plane got delayed. He flew in. He caught the last 5 minutes of the wedding just to come to my wedding. And when I told him afterwards, I said, I am so sorry. I said, I am so sorry that happened to you. I really, I'm glad you're here and everything. He said, man, I wouldn't have missed. I'm glad I saw 5 minutes. Paid for a flight, hotel, everything just to see 5 minutes of my wedding. So I always thanked him for that.
Well, let's be honest. How many weddings
I would complain bitterly if I flew and missed a wedding.
Right. But how many weddings have you been to where you caught the last 5 minutes? You're like, thank God it was only the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, no kidding, right? Jeez. Thank God. He's probably like did it on purpose. He's like, I don't like weddings, but I do want to show up.
I
want to sign the guest book, but I really don't want to be here for the ceremony.
Yeah, I like parties.
Forge my name.
You know, so, I can eat.
Yeah. So anyway.
I'm just here for the reception.
In the next hour and a half, if anything breaks, we will tell you about it. If anything happens, I doubt it.
It's not going to happen.
God forbid something major should happen. We will keep you abreast of it. We'll lock it in and let you know.
Just a quick question. I think most of these states, didn't they stop counting for the night?
Yeah, they were done.
Like, we're done. So
they're going to count at 3 o'clock in the morning when they don't have to.
Of course not.
Look, we've spent 250 years. A lot of our elections were delivered by Pony Express. We don't need to. Don't flip out because last night you didn't get a result.
No, we're spoiled. That's what it is.
That's what it is. You want instant gratification.
We're
people
spoiled.
Wanted this thing to be over by 10 o'clock Eastern time so they could go to bed at a decent hour.
Yeah, well, it fits in their schedule.
Yeah, exactly. So now I don't know. It's kind of fun. I mean, the presidential elections are kind of fun.
It really
depends.
I mean, my favorite part of it was the pregame show.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is like the Super Bowl, except the Super Bowl has stories.
Right.
You know, and individual players, you know, because the Super Bowl starts their coverage like at 8 a.m. and the game's not until, you know, 3:30, 4 o'clock. But last night, you know, yesterday, I was like, oh, you know, just relaxing on the couch, turning on the news. Election coverage starting. It's like 4 hours till polls close. I'm like, okay, what are you talking about?
What are you talking about? It's the same thing with, you're right, with the Super Bowl shows. Like, I've stopped watching those because it's like, look, I got everything I need for this game. I don't need 6 hours of this.
I don't need you overanalyzing that one throw he made in that one game back in December.
You know what they should do for election night for the pregame show? Remember when the NFL Network would run like the half-hour vignettes of every single Super Bowl leading up to the game?
Yes.
They would start those little NFL films, Super Bowl marathons.
They tried yesterday. Remember, they kept going like, here's what it looked like in 2016.
Yeah, exactly.
But here's what it looked like in 2012.
Who's the guy that has to run the map? That looks impossible to me. I have, like, if you threw me on there at a last-minute fill-in, like, hey, Joe Smith, who runs the map, is out tonight, you got to do that, I would have no idea how to run that thing. They're like calling up states and they know every county. I don't know the counties in my own state. I've lived here 10 years.
They don't.
If you told me there was a county in Tennessee called Candyland, I would believe you. I have no reason not to believe you. I don't know the counties in my own state. And these guys are like, yeah, over here in Chattahoochee County, they went red last time. They're going blue tonight. And over here in Floodable County, they're going red. That's a skill I do not possess at all.
What I love, too, I mean, you got to know math.
You really have to know math.
Because he's like, I mean, a couple of times you're like, well, let's see. Here's the trend that we see. If he takes Arizona, Wisconsin, Michigan, boom, 270. But let's take Pennsylvania. That's too much. But now we take away Michigan. Now he needs this. I'm like, man, I'm sitting there going, carry the 1 + 7. I'm lost.
I have no idea. Yeah, one guy said last night, he goes, yeah, about 70,000 votes have already been cast here. And he showed it. And I did the math. And I was like, well, it's 87, but it's okay. Give or take 17,000 votes.
And another,
but he's doing it on the fly. So I got to give him some credit.
And I got another question, too, which, you know, I was 44 years old when I found this out.
Yes.
That Nebraska and Maine can be split?
I had no idea that me either. I'm not, again, I'll admit, I'm not a huge political junkie.
I follow this
enough to kind of know what I'm doing, like when I go to the polls and
I understand the Electoral College. I understand
the
president.
But I had no idea those states could split their votes.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
I mean, they're like showing like Nebraska cutting to three. I'm like, oh. Man,
do we have more
states? I didn't realize we had more states.
That is great. All right, so we're having some fun with the election. I know for a lot of you it's very serious. You're very concerned about who the president's
going to be. We apologize in advance.
So apologize, but, you know.
Not really.
Last night was just, I'm punch drunk this morning. What can I tell you? I mean, it's just, I watched way too much television.
And you know what the fun thing is? We get to do the same segment tomorrow.
I know. All right, coming up, let's get back to the college football landscape. What is the Big Ten going to do now? Wisconsin's got some COVID. There might be some others down the road. If you are trying to win a national title, what actually is the Big Ten doing? We'll talk about that next as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver
Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us on Wake Up Call. Election morning, as we will roll that into the rest of the week. Coming up, what's Wisconsin going to do now that COVID struck another game? But before we get to that, are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, and squeaking? Don't compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windows. When it comes time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and see their selection. The professional parts people will help you find just the right wiper blades for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts will install those wiper blades free of charge. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Oh, real quick, yesterday my daughter and I went to get a car wash. She had the day off for election day. So I said, let's go get the car wash. We went to, you know, it was like mid-afternoon. Nobody was there. Pull in, you know, pay, pull in. Guy gets us on the guide, right? Put it in neutral. So as we're going through the car wash, and I'm like, all right, this is going fine. We get to the point where the car is going to get the rinsed, right? All the soap's going to get taken off. And I look on the windshield, and underneath my windshield wiper was like a feather. And I was like, what is that? Where did that come from? So I hit the windshield wipers and out flew a dead bird that was trapped on my car underneath my wiper blade. It was the freakiest thing I've ever done in the car. It was disgusting. What? A dead bird trapped. A dead bird. So I don't know if the bird, I couldn't see it. I don't know if the bird was like alive and his little wing was trapped, and then I killed it, sending it right through the deadly car wash, or it was dead already and it just hung on. But the guy who was at the who guides you in was like, yeah, keep going, stop, put it in neutral. He didn't notice it. He didn't say anything. And this dead bird was on my car. It freaked out when it flipped over and just landed on the side, just dead.
Maybe it's playing possum.
And then my first thought was not for the poor bird. I was like, maybe I should ask for a free car wash just to make sure all the bird residue is gone.
No, I mean, you know, hey, this car wash is feeding you dead birds.
Exactly. That's what my daughter said. She goes, well, what if the bird, we didn't even see it and just flew in
came down in with the soap.
Yeah, came in with the soap. And I was like, yeah, good point.
Tiny novel.
I know.
It could happen.
So Wisconsin's canceled its game with Purdue Saturday. This is the second time this has happened.
Yeah, well, they need all the players to count votes.
That's right. The Big Ten, we brought this up before. The Big Ten did itself no favors. It didn't do its team any favors by saying, look, we're coming back. We're seeing college football being played across the country. It seems to be working out. You know what? We were wrong back in early August to cancel the season. So we're going to come back. But here's how we're going to have to come back now. You're going to have a little bit of a camp, training, get your guys in shape. And we're going to have to run through a schedule where there's no bye weeks. Is everybody cool with that? So nobody catch COVID and nobody cancel any games because we ain't going to make it up. And if we can't make it up, we'll just roll with it. So some of you may play 5. Some of you may play 6. Some of you may play 8. We'll see when this is all said and done. But we don't have any chance of putting any bye weeks in the calendar so that you can get some more games in. Last week, Wisconsin couldn't play in its game against Nebraska. Now, okay, big deal, right? Games are being postponed all over college football. Whoopee. But if you're Nebraska, this stinks because you had a chance to beat Wisconsin. Now, maybe, just maybe, you're not a good enough team to be in the college football playoff, but you could be a good enough team to play in the Big Ten championship game. And now that opportunity to get a leg up in the division has been taken away. Now, this is the Big Ten's problem because the SEC knows it's going to lose some games to COVID, but it also has a buffer where it goes, we'll make some of those games up. Now, we may not be able to make all of them up, but we may make enough up because in the end, the goal is to put teams in bowl games, to have an SEC championship, and maybe have one, maybe two, depending on how the landscape shapes out, compete for a national title. The Big Ten, they came back for this reason too. You think Ohio State stood on a soapbox demanding we play football because he just wanted to get some games in? Ryan Day is no fool. He's got Justin Fields. He knows he's got a team capable of winning a title. COVID or no COVID, shortened season, bizarre season, weird schedule, it doesn't matter. He knows he's got a team that could play for the title. But what if he only gets 7 games in or 6 games in? What if they lose a game and don't have an opportunity to play the big one on their schedule because of COVID. The one that if they win that one and win it convincingly, they can nullify a little bit of the loss that they suffered somewhere on their schedule. We talked yesterday about Clemson. They're not going to have Trevor Lawrence in this game against Notre Dame, but they might still get into this thing because if they run the table with Trevor Lawrence and their only blemish is a road loss in South Bend without their star quarterback against a fourth-ranked Notre Dame team, if that's their only blemish, the committee is going to look at them and say, yep, because we're doing it in the same way we did it when I was growing up. We're picking teams based on analysis of people in their brains, the way they see things, the way they evaluate things. Now, before, when we had the BCS computer, oh, they tried the different algorithms to try to make some sense of it. But when you threw in these polls, it made it so that if you lost, sometimes the computer didn't really understand what that loss really was. What were the circumstances behind it? But the College Football Committee can do that. The College Football Committee can go, no Trevor Lawrence to Notre Dame on the road. Yeah, I guess I know there's no fans and all that, but still, yeah, you know what? You're still good enough. But they're going to have to make a true evaluation of the Big Ten if teams don't play enough games. Wisconsin is already at the breaking point. They can't make up either one of these games. And so, again, it's going to be hard to evaluate them. And more importantly, down the road, if more and more of these schools in the Big Ten don't have a chance to make up some of these games, it could affect the conference all the way down the line. I mean, again, Nebraska, look, Northwestern is 2-0 and Purdue's 2-0, and it's early in the season, and Nebraska did have a loss against Ohio State, but they're looking at their division, and they didn't get to play one of the top teams in their division. Wisconsin. They didn't get to play that game. And there's no place to make that up. And if Wisconsin goes down the road and wins and plays six games and goes 6-0, is a 6-0 Wisconsin team better than a 7-1 Nebraska team? Or no, 6-1 Nebraska team, because they can't make up the Wisconsin game without an opportunity to beat Wisconsin. Again, I know it's a new world and everything is new. And we can't sometimes take what we did in all the years before and put it in a COVID world. We're just going to have to evaluate this as it goes along. But this problem could have been avoided for the Big Ten had they really analyzed where we were in the college football world and how exactly could they have played in a college football world amid COVID when everybody else was doing so. And they set themselves up to say, yeah, we got a late start to this, and we wanted to get as many games in as possible. And for that reason, unfortunately, we can't make up the big games. Like, what if Ohio State and Michigan is postponed because of COVID? Like, that could have been made up at some point. That could have been made up in a buffer zone at the end of the season. But no, it won't. It won't. It'll just disappear. I mean, the Pac-12 is starting its season on Saturday. You know how many games they're playing per conference? Six. I mean, what if USC or Oregon goes 6-0? I'm supposed to believe that that's a better team than a 8-2 SEC school? Like an 8-2 Florida team, for example, that played 10 SEC games? Lost two of them on the road at Texas A&M and maybe, let's say, this weekend at Georgia for the cocktail party? No, I'm not going to. I'm sorry, I'm not going to. Unless you are lights out good. I mean, lights out good. But I'm not, this is, again, this sits right on the conference's doorstep. Because instead of looking at the landscape and saying, look, if we're going to come back, this is how we're going to come back. Look at what everybody else is doing, right? Look at what the ACC is doing. Look at what the SEC is doing. Look at what the Big 12 is doing. They're adding a buffer week. They're adding an opportunity to make up some of these games. Obviously not all of them. You can't make up two or three, but you can make up one. And we can't give that to our schools because we thought we were going to set the tone for the college football world. No. We're not going to do this. We're not going to play. And then everybody else went, we'll play. And they went, oh, I guess we're going to have to play. But now we're going to put ourselves in a situation where we're going to put our member institutions in a problematic situation when it comes to competing for a national title. All right, Thursday night football, San Francisco and Green Bay. How beat up are the Niners? And would it be okay to walk away from Jimmy Garoppolo? Next, Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it is Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Ron, quick question for you. Is your home field's Dodger Stadium on the mantle still in hopes Mookie Betts wins the MVP next week?
No, I don't know if the magic has been used up, but I decided to put it in its rightful spot.
All right, in the guest room?
In the guest room.
Very
It'll
nice.
It'll be used as a nightlight for when the parentals come out to visit, because they live in L.A. and they're huge Dodger fans. And who wouldn't want a glowing Dodger Stadium to wistfully put them to sleep?
Perfect. By the way, what we're talking about is homefields.com. Check them out. Three-dimensional art pieces of your favorite football, baseball stadiums, including sports arenas. They have over 160 to choose from. They're really interesting. It's a three-dimensional effect, and it's when it's lit up, it is stellar. It actually really has... There's like... I don't want to say an optical illusion, but there is an illusion effect to make the piece look way deeper than it is. These are great gifts for the holiday season.
Not only that, but you know, when my kids look at it, they're like, God, I can see the players moving.
I know. It's crazy.
And I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's not happening, but yeah. That's how good it is. That's how realistic it is.
The great thing about it is you can get old stadiums to go back to your youth. You can get the new stadiums that are being built today. Again, over 160 to choose from. Sports arenas, baseball stadiums, football stadiums, college and NFL along the like. And then the back, you can get a really good description of the stadium. It's got a nice little write-up piece on it. But more importantly, when you put it up and you light it up, it really makes the piece shine. So check them out at homefields.com. Man, they are really, really sharp. I've got Three Rivers Stadium in my studio. It just looks great. Really, really great piece. Check them out again on homefields.com. All right, so Thursday night's game, Jimmy Garoppolo out, George Kittle out. The Packers have dropped 2 of 3. That's your game at Levi Stadium coming up on Thursday night.
Should be exciting.
Should be fun. Should be fun. Is our man Nick Mullins the starting quarterback?
He has to be, right?
49ers, right?
They keep going to him when Jimmy goes down.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, but what we've learned in the past... Hey, CJ, just be prepared.
Yeah, that's right. Be prepared. You never know.
CJ always gets in.
We talked to Chris Trapasso yesterday about, and I asked him to speculate, where does he think the Garoppolo situation is? He says, look, you know, it's more than likely heading towards some divorce, right? That the 49ers are likely to move on to another quarterback. It saves them money because, remember, Garoppolo got that huge deal a couple of years ago. Now, I know for those of you who are kind of on the periphery and looking at this just from a basic look and saying, well, didn't he just lead the 49ers to a Super Bowl? Yes, he did. But if you remember the run to the Super Bowl, how much of that was really on Garoppolo's shoulders? Like how much of the win against Green Bay. Yeah, they played the Vikings, Green Bay. How much of that was really on Garoppolo? I mean, one game, Garoppolo threw 77 yards. That was it. Raheem Mostert carried the load. The running game carried the load. The defense carried the load. Now, that's not to say the quarterback doesn't get credit. The quarterback gets credit, right? Peyton Manning didn't have a really good postseason the year the Broncos won the Super Bowl, but they won enough games with their defense, and he did just enough by not turning the ball over that they went to the Super Bowl and won it. He gets credit for that, right? So Garoppolo gets credit for winning the NFC and going to play Kansas City in the Super Bowl, but he also gets credit for overthrowing the wide receiver down, I think it was Kittle, right? Down the middle, he overthrew the receiver by just enough that it was a slam dunk touchdown. But again, when you talk about monetarily where teams are, if you're Kyle Shanahan, and you're Kyle Shanahan, I mean, look, you're quarterback guru Kyle Shanahan, right? And you know Jimmy Garoppolo struggles again with things that break down, and he's not all that confident in the pocket going to other second, third, fourth wide receiver options. If you're Kyle Shanahan and you sense that and you know that, and you just don't want to continue to develop that, and you know that the clock is ticking to get somebody decent via trade or somebody else, and he could save you $26, $27, $28 million, then you part ways with him. That's the reality of this league. That's just the way it is. Get your money while you can. Get your money in guaranteed as much as you can, because you're not likely to fill out any contract that comes your way. Very few run a contract to the very end. I mean, even the stars in this league don't run contracts to the very end. They always have to renegotiate at some point. They're always having to rip up a deal to make a deal more team friendly, but they get some on the back end, right? They make it cap friendly, but there's more guaranteed, or somehow, some way they make it beneficial to them, but they're always ripping up current deals. This is really not all that surprising when you talk about people who are saying that Garoppolo and Shanahan might break up and they might look somewhere else to be a quarterback. I mean, think Kyle Shanahan's career as an assistant coach up until this point. I mean, he feasts on this kind of idea of offense and who he can bring in and who can work it. And he's done the deal with Garoppolo enough to say, look, this guy, we didn't need him to throw for 400 yards in the games leading to the Super Bowl. But you know what? If we did need him, it's unlikely he would have done that anyway. So that's where you are. I mean, this was a 13-3 team last year with Garoppolo playing every single game all the way through. But you have to read much deeper into Garoppolo's relationship with the team than that. It is unfortunate that money does come into play and that decisions are made on a quarterback like him based on, well, we could save this much money. Because this can come back and bite you. You have a team with him under center that is still good enough to be competitive in a very tough division. But that's not what you want to do if you're San Francisco. Because you're looking at the landscape of your division, and what are you seeing, right? Well, Russell Wilson is still young and absolutely fantastic. 26 touchdowns already this season. MVP season coming his way. But then you look at Kyler Murray at Arizona, and he is really starting to develop into a very good quarterback in this league. And Jared Goff has occasionally been fantastic as well. And the Rams look like they're in good shape. Arizona's looking in good shape. And Seattle's in excellent, excellent, excellent shape. As many excellence as you could put into that sentence. But was San Francisco ever in excellent shape with Jimmy Garoppolo? Were they ever in awesome, you would not get rid of him for anything shape? Even last year, you would still make the argument that this was a defensive team that runs the ball well, and Garoppolo doesn't make doesn't make the big mistake that cost you games.
No, he basically was Broncos Peyton Manning.
Yeah, right. That's exactly right. In that final year.
Yeah.
So it's not surprising, but it is, you know, sure. It's like, wow, what have you done for me lately, league, right?
I mean, right. Oh, definitely. But I think the only time we were really high on him was when he first got traded.
Right, right.
When he first came to the team.
Well, remember how, you know, Belichick loved him, right? He played pretty well. And then when he went to the 49ers, he was good enough to warrant the big contract. And that kind of started a rumbling of like, well, when Brady like breaks down physically, here you just gave away Garoppolo. But that didn't happen for Brady. And Garoppolo's now we're starting to see a little bit of what he's, is as a quarterback. But where would the 49ers go? Because if you cut this guy, and again, you save your money on the cap and all of that, then you better make sure you land the guy you want, because that division is too tough to begin some sort of rebuilding quarterback project. Like, you want to strike while you have guys on your team that are capable of winning you some football games. But you need a quarterback to win football games. And if you're going to try a Sam Darnold experiment or somewhere else, maybe Matt Ryan for a couple of years, because we used to work together in Atlanta, you better make sure that that works. And you better make sure that you get the production you need out of that position. Because Garoppolo fit exactly what you were doing last year. I mean, if you look at some of his statistics from last season in 2019, he had a lot of games where he threw for less than 100 yards, a lot of them. And came out on top. And he mostly hovered around 200, 250. But they never needed him to throw for 400. The one game that he threw for over 400 was in some wild game against Arizona in November, where it kind of went back and forth. But they don't need him to throw a lot. So if you don't need a quarterback that throws a lot and is not so comfortable in the pocket when the plays break down, if you're Kyle Shanahan, you save yourself some money and you get the quarterback you know that you have some skill to put in that position in a quarterback division that's looking better and better every day for the other three rather than you. I mean, we were saying this yesterday. The 49ers are 4-4, right? Look at 4-4 in any other place, any other division. They'd be in second place, fighting for the top spot, but they're in last place in the West. Now, obviously, seasons can change, and they still can make the playoffs because there's an extra team, and that division is really good, and the NFC East is terrible, and there's some other really bad teams in the NFC. But if you're 4-4 in last place, and you're looking, how do we be competitive in this division, then you've got to look at where you're stacked up at the quarterback. This is no different than, remember all the teams in the AFC South that were always building defense, like drafting defense, building defense, because Peyton Manning was playing for the Colts? And they knew, like, look, if we're going to beat that team in Indianapolis, we got to find a defense that's capable of slowing them down. The first step to getting into the playoffs is handling our own division, and that guy's beating us twice a year. So we're going to build a team that is around defensive-oriented play that we can go beat Peyton Manning when he was killing them with the Colts. But the 49ers are looking at their division and seeing, look, we have a great defense, but at the same time, our quarterback play is last in the league right now when Garoppolo was playing. So no real surprise. But Green Bay, they've lost two of their last three, but still on top of the NFC North. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. Michael, who's a political junkie, weighed in on our question earlier tonight about Maine and Nebraska. Said Maine and Nebraska has their Maine and Nebraska has their electoral votes decided by the congressional districts and Senate. He's already lost me. If you win the popular vote in the state, you get two Senate electoral votes, and then each district house is separated so you can win the individual electoral votes. Blah blah blah. I don't know what that means. No, I get it. I understand that. That's pretty. I don't know. Is that a better way to do it than winner take all?
I guess.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
No. When I was a kid, I liked the Electoral College.
I mean, I just get the feeling that everyone would do that then, right?
Yeah. So I saw a guy on Twitter last night said his kid's homework assignment was to color the states red or blue as they came in. Good homework assignment.
Yeah.
What do you do? When you turn in do you turn them blank or do you shade them a little purple, the ones that are empty?
Would
you wake up your kid at like 2 o'clock in the morning to finish the deal?
I want to see how many incompletes.
Yeah.
Teacher, stick to your guns.
Exactly.
It's an incomplete assignment. You didn't color all the states red and blue.
Yeah. Should have shaded it a little purple.
Yep.
Just, you know.
Or maybe, you know, I've seen a lot of the light blue and light red.
Yeah, how about that? Light blue and light red for where it's leaning.
This way.
Yeah.
Like, how do you know it's leaning this way?
First of all, like if I had that assignment, I wasn't a kid in 84. I was more of a young adult. Not really young adult.
I was a kid in 84.
12, whatever. But I wasn't like an elementary school. But if you had given me that when Reagan destroyed Mondale, that would have been easy because that night was over quick.
Yeah.
But remember, like last night, what do you do with your kid's like, Dad, I want to complete my homework. The states are coming in. Like, it's like 11:30 at night. He's falling asleep on the couch. Do you wake him up at 2 a.m. and go, yeah, I didn't do anything. So,
you stay sleeping. I bet parents did their kid's homework assignment.
Sure. I said, all right, kiddo, you go to bed, you sleep.
Then, as a parent,
I'll finish it.
As a parent, you need to judge, like, okay, do I color a little bit outside the line so it looks like a child did it?
Exactly. What about the crazy, way too political parent that's like, I'm coloring it all red and all blue?
Hoo-yah.
It's all a conspiracy.
That's right.
That'd be great. Yeah, I kind of feel bad for those parents that had that. I'm sure that was an assignment for a lot of kids around the country. It seems like an easy thing to learn about the election process and a little bit of the geography. So here's South Dakota right there on your map. Color it, whatever.
Yeah, there's Alaska and Hawaii just below the United States.
Yeah, exactly, just below the United States. And I know you can't see Delaware, but trust me, it's there.
Yeah. Well, that was laughable last night when I don't remember which guy. I think he's John King. Was trying to tap the map, and he couldn't tap on Rhode Island. Where's the little line that just kind of sticks out so you can hit Rhode Island a little bit easier?
Yeah, poor Rhode Island.
He keeps hitting Connecticut over and over again. It's like, damn, these fat fingers.
Used to buzz through that state on my way to the casino in Connecticut. Didn't even know I was there. All right. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio, as we continue along. So as I mentioned earlier about the college football season, The Big Ten had to cancel the Wisconsin game. But you know what? Pac-12 After Dark returns this weekend. How exciting is that for Saturday night?
Yeah, actually, that's kind of fun.
It is fun. Pac-12 After Dark is the best. I love it. I just love it. It's really, to me, it's one of those things I enjoy about the college football season because I'm not a big, you know, I don't root for anybody in the Pac-12 and whatnot, but it comes at a time where my house is quiet, my wife's usually in bed watching something, and I'm just all by myself in the media room watching college football, and I don't have to run an errand, I don't have to leave to go pick up somebody because they don't have a driver's license yet, or my wife wants to go to dinner, or whatever it is. It's like, nope, I'm watching USC Stanford, or whatever it is, Oregon against Washington, in the middle of the night in Pac-12 country. I like it, and I'm glad the Pac-12 is back. Six games, though. I guess it'll work. Six games. Well, when they crown a champion, it'll be, you know, all right, who survived the six-week ordeal of playing college football in the Pac-12? You know, it'll just be like some coach going, this is not too bad, just flying through this six-game schedule. This is cutting the season in half. It's crazy. But, you know, it's better than nothing, I guess. It could have been zero games if they had stood their ground like the big, you know, with the Big Ten. So we don't care. We're staying done in the college football world. So, nevertheless, USC is predicted to be pretty good this year. Slovis, their quarterback, they were like sixth nationally last year in passing yards. Oregon is already in the top 25. They haven't played it down yet. Washington State, with Mike Leach, used to score 100 points a game. They've got a new coach because Leach went to Mississippi State. And Justin Herbert out at Oregon with the Chargers. Now they're going with another young quarterback. So a lot of exciting little things in the Pac-12. Don't want to forget about them, but they're starting their season on Saturday. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.